Radio. I'm Deborah Flammenbaum.
And I'm Dimitri Fulton. We have media news from four nations today: South Korea, the United Kingdom, Italy, and Turkey.
From South Korea, should K-pop stars sing in English?
Why do so many K-pop songs have lyrics in English instead of Korean? What's behind this trend? Do the fans think about K-pop idols singing in English?
From the UK, we have news about the new internet regulations.
What is the Online Safety Act? Will it really protect children and adults from dangers of the internet? The UK government thinks it will eliminate some digital dangers. Can a law make the internet safe for kids?
From Italy, we have reports about social media in Italy.
What are the most popular platforms? How many users are there? What are Italians doing online? Are there Italian platforms?
From Turkey, is there an independent news media in Turkey?
How much press freedom is there under government president Erdogan? Can Turkish journalists cover the government without fear of retaliation?
All this and more coming up on OWWR, Old Westbury Web Radio, streaming from the State University of New York, College of Old Westbury.
Let's start with music news from South Korea from our new media beat K-pop reporter Stephanie Casella. The K-pop industry is a global market with fans all over the world. Most of the stars have been Korean singing in Korea. But there is a new trend that we should discuss. Some K-pop groups are singing in English. Shouldn't K-pop songs be sung in Korean? Why this recent switch to English?
There are still a lot of K-pop songs sung in Korean, but the use of English lyrics in these songs are rapidly increasing. K-pop girl groups started to follow Blackpink's lead by using English in their songs to expand overseas. People from all over the world are listening to their music. They're starting to use more English lyrics in their songs. The Korea Herald reports that the young generation in Korea has no resistance against English lyrics, so the language in which K-pop lyrics are written is no longer limited to Korean, said local music critic Kang Tae-gyu. The Korean youth has been more receptive to K-pop songs containing more English lyrics due to expansion from the domestic to the global market. Fans will be able to relate to K-pop songs if they sing in a language that fans understand. K-pop boy groups tend to target their fandoms, while girl groups want to reach more people in foreign countries. The K-pop boy groups are more concerned with pleasing their Korean fans, who have remained loyal to them, so they tend to use more Korean lyrics than girl groups. The girl groups want to use more English lyrics to target a global audience, so more people from around the world want to listen to their music.
Which K-pop groups are using more English lyrics in their songs?
There are several K-pop groups, especially girl groups, who are rapidly using more English lyrics in their songs. According to the Korea Herald, breaking it down by group, 53.6% of the words in G-IDLE's releases in the first half of this year were in English, while it was 50.5% for Luciferum, 50% for Blackpink, 49.3% for NMIX, and 48.4% for NewJeans. I've used the least English words at only 24.9%. So, most of these girl groups, half of their lyrics in their songs were in English, and IVE used the least amount of English lyrics in their songs. However, the use of English lyrics in K-pop songs sung by boy bands were much lower. According to the Korea Herald, meanwhile, the increase of English words used in lyrics was relatively lower for K-pop boy bands' releases that landed on Circle Chart's digital chart top 100 in the first half of this year, with 24.3% of those words being English, marking growth of 5.6 percentage points from 2018. So, K-pop boy groups aren't using as many English words in their songs as the girl groups.
How are fans reacting to the increased English lyrics in K-pop songs?
Well, fans seem to have very mixed feelings about the rapid increase in English lyrics in K-pop songs. According to K-pop stars, I don't understand why they use English songs and promote that are only in English. If you don't like it, then don't listen to it. Why are you thinking it seem like songs that are written in English are a problem? There are people who listen to it because it's good. And these were said by actual fans. So some of the fans feel that K-pop will lose its authenticity due to using more English lyrics, while other fans think that the language shouldn't matter as long as the music is good quality. And there has been an ongoing debate about the sudden increase of English lyrics. Some of the fans are more understanding and are able to think more logically about the reason for K-pop groups using more English lyrics. And other fans simply hate that these K-pop groups keep singing in English because they think it's not real K-pop. For New Media Beat, I'm Stephanie Casella. Back to you, Dimitrik.
Thanks, Stephanie. Let's talk about the internet in the UK with my co-host, Deborah Flemingbaum. Is the government agency that regulates the internet and communications in the United Kingdom kind of like our Federal Communications Commission, or FCC, here in the United States? There's a new British law called the Online Safety Act. Can a law make the internet safe for children and adults? Deborah, what are some of the problems that this Online Safety Act is supposed to address? Can you give us some examples of the kind of danger that this Safety Act is supposed to deal with?
The UK Safety Act is supposed to deal with the danger of content that could be dangerous. For example, content that shows people committing suicide, or content that can evoke emotions, strong emotions from kids. The reason that the UK has created this Media Act is because larger amounts of young adults have reported of depression, and there's a large amount of kids in the UK who have committed suicide. So the UK Media App is really a way to try to make those numbers go down. However, the UK Media App also violates the law in UK, because the UK has freedom of speech for content creators. And when the content creators say that they are not allowed to say what they need to say, and make their own art as a result of the media restrictions.
How will the content that needs to be censored under the UK media bill?
The content will be determined based on what the content is.
Why is the UK creating a UK media bill?
The UK is creating a UK media bill because large amounts of kids in the UK have committed suicide or been harmed directly due to something on social media.
Is this new territory for the UK's legal system?
Yes, it is new territory for the UK's legal system, since this has never happened before in the country, that people have tried to limit what children can and can't see on social media and limit what content can't be viewed by minors.
How will the UK media bill protect children who use the internet in the UK?
The UK media bill will prevent children from viewing media, since certain materials can cause harm to children by inducing emotions. It can also give wrong directions or advice that could cause children to harm themselves inadvertently.
Why are some content creators against the UK media bill?
Some content creators are worried that the UK media bill will take away from their freedom of speech and their ability to make money on social media. For New Media Beat, I'm Deborah Flanbaum. Back to you, Dimitrik.
Thank you, Deborah. How do Italians use social media? What is the most popular platform in Italy? Stay tuned for our report on social media use in Italy with Alyssa Rosano.
Social media is very popular in Italy. Alyssa Rosano is our expert on media in Italy. Alyssa, where do Italians spend their free time online? How popular is social media in Italy?
As of January 2023, Italy counted almost 51 million active internet users, 86% of which were also active social media users. The number of social media users in Italy is forecasted to experience moderate but constant growth in the next year, reaching over 74 million by the end of 2028. This year, Italian users spent over 21 hours per month on member communities like social networks and more than 11 chatting on instant messaging applications. Videos and movie consumption was over 6 hours per user per month, while the time spent sending and receiving email communications was around 4 hours and 10 minutes per user. According to a survey conducted in 2022 among internet users in Italy, almost half of people use social media for reading news stories. Filling spare time was the second most common reason for users in Italy to engage with social media platforms, with 47% of people reporting doing so for this particular reason. Additionally, just over 46% reported using social media platforms to keep in touch with friends and family.
What was the most popular social media in Italy?
So the most popular social media used in Italy right now is Facebook. It is the most, the percentage is the highest in Italy. Even with a slightly decreasing user base, Facebook accounts for 22.8 million of Italian social media users. Instagram is the second most popular social network with 8.3 million users, followed by Google Plus, 7.5 million users, Twitter's 6.6 million users, LinkedIn's 5.1 million users, and Pinterest's 3 million users. Additionally, Facebook Messenger was used by 50.6% of people. Nearly 24% of Italians use TikTok regularly, and this figure is only expected to keep growing. In 2021, Facebook was the social network with the highest rate, as it counted 36 million users in Italy.
What is the social media audience in Italy? Who is using social media the most?
The social media platform in Italy finds its largest audience among 25 to 34-year-olds. According to a report conducted by Hootsuite and We Are Social, more than 85% of surveyed Italians whose age range from 16 to 64 years confirm that they use YouTube and WhatsApp on a daily basis.
How do women play a role in social media in Italy?
Since social media is used so often in Italy by females, many of these females have taken social media to the next level. There are many female influencers in Italy which have a bond to establish with their followers. They explode the spur to female self-fulfillment for marketing aims, turning it into a self-branding tool. The figures of two of the most popular social influencers in Italy are Chiara Ferragni and Bandati Rossi.
What women influencers is popular in Italy for their social media platform?
So Chiara is an Italian blogger, businesswoman, fashion designer, and model who has collaborated with fashion and beauty brands through her blog, The Blonde Salad, having 29.6 million followers on Instagram. The other, Bandita, is an Italian chef who became famous after launching her food blog. She now has more than 4.6 million Instagram followers. Her feed is full of her latest projects and mouth-watering tutorials. Females in today's society listen and watch these female influencers to gain a type of entertainment and to follow in others' footsteps. For New Media Beat, I am Alyssa Rosano. Back to you, Deborah.
Thanks, Alyssa. Let's talk about press freedom in Turkey with Anthony Borgordovsky. Anthony, what is the role of the state in relation to the media in Turkey?
Independent Turkish journalists often face challenges when covering Erdogan government. As the environment is marked by concerns over retaliation and censorship, journalists critical of the government may encounter harassment, legal action, and intimidation. The use of laws such as the discrimination law can lead to punitive measures against those perceived as spreading information against the government's narrative. Additionally, equating critical journalism with threats to national security or terrorism can further increase vulnerability to legal consequences.
What are some of the specific challenges and threats that journalists in Turkey face?
Journalists in Turkey confront a multifaceted array of challenges and threats, creating a hostile environment for media professionals. Harassment and intimidation are rampant, often targeting those critical of the government. Arbitrary imprisonment is a significant concern, with pretrial detention becoming a norm, resulting in punishment without conviction. Legal harassment is widespread, and journalists face egregious violations of rule of law guarantees. The discrimination law is used to punish journalists, as exemplified by at least 20 cases in their past year, particularly related to their coverage of the 2023 earthquakes. Equating critical journalism with terrorism or threats to national security exasperates the vulnerability of journalists to legal consequences. The arbitrary granting of official press cards limited in power adds another layer of restriction. Physical safety remains a grave concern, with threats to reporters and authorities at times failing to provide adequate protection. Government control over information, illustrated during the 2023 earthquakes, raises fears of narrative manipulation. International delegations addressing press freedom issue struggles to engage with key officials, and journalists face challenges obtaining visas for professional purposes, hindering their ability to connect with peers abroad. Collectively, these challenges paint a stark picture of the obstacles journalists face in maintaining a free and independent press in Turkey.
How has the discrimination law in Turkey been used to target journalists?
Independent groups and the Constitutional Court play vital roles in safeguarding Turkish press freedom. Despite encountering various challenges, international organizations such as the International Press Institute, Reporters Without Borders, and the European Center for Press and Media Freedom collaborate with local journalists and organizations to provide resources, legal support, and advocacy. They raise awareness globally about the challenges faced by Turkish journalists and work to ensure their protection. The Constitutional Court issues important rulings in support of press freedom within Turkey. However, the effectiveness of these rulings is rampant by a lack of resources, lower court's failure to implement decisions, and the Turkish parliament's reluctance to address systematic violations identified by the court. Despite these obstacles, the Constitutional Court remains a crucial institution in upholding press freedom within the legal framework. Both international groups and the Constitutional Court face difficulties in their efforts to protect mass freedom in Turkey. Some lower courts do not adhere to the Constitutional Court's decisions, and requests for meetings with key government officials often go unanswered. Despite these challenges, the commitment of international organizations and the Constitutional Court is essential in sustaining efforts to ensure a free and independent press in Turkey.
How do international groups and the Constitutional Court safeguard Turkey's press freedom?
The discrimination law in Turkey, notably through the discrimination law, has been a contentious instrument used to target journalists, presenting a concerning challenges to press freedom. Despite earlier assurance from the head of the Human Rights Investigation Commission and the Turkish parliament that the discrimination law would not be wielded against journalists, the past year has witnessed a stark contrast. A minimum of 20 journalists has found themselves entangled in legal actions. A substantial number of these cases directly linked to the reportings on the 2023 earthquakes. This unfolding scenario underscores a troubling trend where legislation ostensibly designed to counteract misinformation is being repurposed to curtail press freedom. Such instances not only raise questions about the government's commitment to protecting journalists, but also cast a shadow over the essential role of media in providing unbiased information, especially on critical events as international concerns mount over these developments. Understanding the implications of these legal actions for journalists and the broader media landscape in Turkey become paramount. The delicate balance between combating misinformation and safeguarding press freedom is at the forefront of discussion, demanding a nuanced examination of the impact on journalists' ability to report truthfully and independently in a complex and challenging environment. For New Media B, I'm Anthony Bogorodowski. Back to you, Deborah.
Thank you, Anthony. That's all for this week. Thank you for listening to New Media B.
Thanks, Deborah. Today we have reports from Anthony Bogorodowski, Deborah Flamenbaum, Alyssa Rosano, and Stephanie Casella.
New Media Beat is brought to you by OWWR Old Westbury Web Radio and the Media and Communications Department here at the State University of New York College at Old Westbury.
For more media news and resources, check out our latest post at newmediabeat.org.
Follow us on Twitter at OWWRGMN. Use Twitter feed to keep up with the latest news for aspiring journalists and media professionals. That's at OWWRGMN.